This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPN2, ESPNU, ESPN app, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 80, and all of our great stations all across the country. And you guys out there can be a part of Unsportsmanlike Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Call us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Morning. How are you guys
Good
doing
morning. It's Wednesday. It's hump day.
You guys are very bright. I didn't get the memo.
Well, we listen, are. Man, bright colors today.
Listen, the sun has been hiding behind the clouds the last couple of days. It's been miserable outside in New York City. Why not bring a little sunshine?
I agree. Well sunshine. Done by both of you.
Come on, Al.
Well done.
And here you are in muted tones.
Exactly.
Muted? Oh, muted, yeah.
Nuded?
Wow.
By the way, yesterday, you are lucky. You are lucky, CC. You did not walk out with us. I mean, Smalls and I, you could follow at Evco Radio, at M. Smallman on social there, at Chris Canty 99. We walk outside, and there's this beautiful smell of a great barbecue. And we're like, oh, this is great. Where is this? We have to find this. Then literally we walk two steps further, and you would have thought every baby in America needed a diaper change right in front of us.
Oh my
I don't
God.
Know what happened yesterday.
Oh, my God.
It was a disaster. Am I wrong?
It was brutal.
Oh, my God.
It was brutal. It is one of those things that assaults the nostrils.
Yeah, so it's a form of birth control is what you're saying.
Oh, God. And I'm the bad one.
Listen, if you get a whiff of that stuff, I mean,
I'm just saying. I don't know what happened, but it was Paul Pierce in the finals, basically, getting wheeled out.
Yeah.
That's what it was for
it
the
was
Celtic
bad.
on the wheelchair
We couldn't escape it.
Yeah. It's all bad.
No, it was bad. It was bad yesterday. All right. Well, so Aaron Rodgers, as always, makes news, no matter what he says, when he says it, and especially if he says it on the Pat McAfee Show, as seen on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and the ESPN YouTube channel. And we know that Rodgers, obviously, is not with the Jets. I want to point that out, because we had a big debate about that. And I said, I don't buy that he's going to be with the Jets. You guys said he has to be. And maybe he still will be. But currently, rehabbing in California. I do think there's and CeCe would know this way better than we would, there's a mental rehab as well as a physical rehab.
No
doubt. When you have that kind of disappointment. Well, Rodgers gave some interesting comments yesterday about the Jets and their offense and their approach right now. Let's take a listen to the quarterback with Pat McAfee.
And there's, you know, some heated conversations on the sideline and different things. I think we need to hold our poise a little bit better. Really just offensively, you know, we need to not have some of those things happen on the sideline and to be a little better and to be a little, just be a little better competitors. You know, we need to understand this is part of it. And it's not always going to be pretty. The most important thing is winning. You saw what happened in Green Bay. They were down 17-0 and came back and won that game, an ugly game, 18-17. It doesn't matter. It's like you win the game, that's the most important thing. However, you got to get it done. So, you know, there's been, I think, too many little side conversations, and we just need to grow up a little bit on offense and lock in and do our jobs, everybody, and not point fingers at each other. And that's everybody, you know. We don't point fingers at the coaching staff, don't point fingers at each other. Just get back to work and get the job done.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack there. Now, I want to preface this by saying I believe he is the most calculated with his words in the league. I don't think there's a player in the NFL that we would look at and say is more calculated with his words than Aaron Rodgers. I thought it was very interesting that he's talking about not pointing fingers. I think he's actually defending Zach Wilson there. When he says he randomly brings up his old team as an example for positivity, which I thought was interesting, and we shouldn't be pointing fingers at the coaches, throwing them under the bus. I actually think that was about Justin Fields. I think he is that calculated, and he hates the Bears that much, as we know. But I thought that was such an interesting statement he made to McAfee yesterday, Smalls, and how calculated he is. I think he has Zach Wilson's back here with all this.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers knows what he's doing. He understands the platform that he has. He understands that his words carry weight, not only with us as we examine them today, but with his teammates in the locker room. You know that they all are listening to him and that they're going to pay attention to what he says. And he's not wrong in what he's saying. There should be a certain level of maturity that's happening within this team and that we're not seeing displayed right now. We're seeing it all bubble to the surface. And I know there has to be a certain amount of frustration that's existing right now within the Jets organization. You thought that this season was going to be completely different than it is right now. Zach Wilson was not supposed to be the answer for you. You thought you were going to have an MVP, a Super Bowl champion leading the way, and that didn't happen. But he's right. They need to grow up. They need to turn the page, and they need to figure a way out of this mess.
Yeah, Smalls, I'm not saying that Aaron Rodgers is wrong in anything that he's talking about, and you're not wrong in your assessment. What I would say is Aaron Rodgers is not in a position to help them right now. He's in Malibu at his beach house, like he's Ken from the movie Barbie. Like he can't help the New York Jets right now.
Wait,
the doors that you like or no doors?
No,
yeah,
he's in his Mojo Dojo Casa House.
He's got his Mojo Dojo Casa House. That's all well and good. He's rehabbing, okay. And everybody can understand why he would want to be in a comfortable space while he's going through what he's going through. But the Jets are going through something completely different, 3,000 miles away. And when you look at what happened on the field against the Patriots on Sunday, it was more of the same for the guys in that locker room with Zach Wilson. Think about it. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have the context of what they went through last year after getting out to the start that they did. I think they lost six straight games or something of that end at the end of the season. Like that's what the guys are feeling. That's the frustration that is an extension of the disappointment that we saw from them last year. So, yeah, I hear what Rodgers is coming from. I hear what he's trying to say with his team. He's not wrong. You got to stay together. You never want to be in a situation where players on a team gather in little cliques to talk about other guys. So the Alan Lazard, Garrett Wilson on the sideline saying Zach Wilson couldn't throw, it's not a good thing,
no.
Right? Yeah, you know, Zach Wilson is the best option that you have, and so you want to affirm him. But that's a perfect world scenario. This ain't a perfect world that the Jets are living in right now. All you got to do is ask the fan that took his dentures out to cuss his team out in the game at the Patriots. Like, this is awful. And I don't know that Zach Wilson – well, I do know Zach Wilson is not the one to guide them out of it. So therein lies the frustration. And that's why I don't see this getting any better until the Jets get better quarterback options.
I think it's really interesting, though, that he keeps bringing up the Packers. Like, he's done it now multiple times. He even did it, I believe, last week with McAfee, yeah, where he's talking about the idea of, you know, reaching out to Jordan Love and saying, glad to keep the ownership alive here. Which, I mean, I told you, I think Rodgers, here's the thing about Rodgers. I think he's actually way better with the quarterback position, his other quarterbacks, than people give him credit for. I think he was great with Love, and I think he's going to be great with Wilson. I think he's too defensive on behalf of Wilson. Numerically, he's a disaster. The pointy fingers thing is funny because as I go into my inbox at Evco Radio on Twitter, the Dr. Pepper inbox here, Travis tweets, how can anybody take the most habitual finger pointer in the NFL seriously when he says we can't point fingers?
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
No, it's interesting, but it's a real thing, too. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has a pattern of behavior before he got to Florham Park this offseason. So, yeah, I guess what Rodgers is saying, it's not wrong, but it rings hollow when he's not in it with him. And if he was
Which bothers you, I know it does.
If he was here rehabbing and he was in the meetings with Zach trying to coach him through it, that hits different with the rest of the locker room. Like, the message resonates a lot more when he's there versus when he's out of the building. And so the fact that he's not there, it makes it feel cheap in a sense.
You bring up a very interesting point. Walk me through this for a second, because I do want to play a sound here from our Jets reporter, Rich Cimini, who had an interesting take of what's going on. But I want to follow up on this. So you're saying you're a player, Chris Canty, 11-year NFL vet, won a Super Bowl. You're in the locker room for the Jets. You're on the defensive side of the ball, which is what you were.
Yeah.
You hear these comments that are all over the place now, and hey, we got to stop pointing fingers. Our offense needs to grow up. And your reaction is, well, join us.
Well, yeah, that would be my reaction. But the other part of that would be, dude, you're not on the field for 75 snaps in the game like we were because our offense can't sustain drives. You're not a guy that's sitting there watching the offense in a three-point ball game take a safety with a sack on the quarterback. I just – those are the types of things that happen throughout the course of a game that frustrate players to no end. Zach in year three should have better awareness. He should understand that he can't take a sack in that scenario. That can't happen where Matt Judon closes the game and makes it a touchdown game rather than a field goal game with a safety. And so that's the frustrating part. I don't know how you explain that away. I don't know how you justify that. Now, Zach is probably hearing from the coaches with that, and he'll be better. But I don't know that he can get better to the point where this team has more margin for error when it comes to trying to find a path to win each and every Sunday. So, again, I go back to with Rodgers not being in the lineup, with Rodgers not being in the building – this team, this organization has to go out and find a better option at quarterback than Zach Wilson. That's just the bottom line right now. Rob Saleh is saying all the right things, affirming their quarterback, but behind the scenes, him and Joe Douglas need to be working together to find someone else. Otherwise, it's going to cost both of them their jobs.
And they did sign Trevor Siemian yesterday to the practice squad.
Didn't Rodgers kind of intimate that he might be at the game versus Kansas City?
I thought he was talking about Taylor Swift.
Well, I don't know. He said, you never know who you're going to see at the game. And with him, I thought maybe that might mean that he could come. I think he's going to show up.
I think that's probably a Taylor Swift reference. But
I think he's going to show up at some point.
Yes,
and,
I agree.
And I think when I'm listening to this, part of me is thinking about everything that he did in a short window of time to bring this team together. He really, in a short amount of time, was able to raise morale, really get this group of men believing that they could do something, that they were going to be great. And that all dissipated in a matter of 2.5. I mean, I don't even want to call it 3 weeks because it was in existence before week three. And if I'm him, I'm watching it all unravel from my beach house in Malibu and knowing there's really nothing I can do about it except for to talk on this platform and try to talk to the guys and get a message together.
Yeah.
And if he really wants to come back next season, he's probably thinking, I don't want to have to clean up a huge mess.
Yeah.
And it kind of starts right now. And he knows that his words carry weight.
Well, if it starts right now, then why aren't you there? Like, you can rehab here. Like, he's got a place here. He set up shop. So why not be here as opposed to being out in California?
It's a Malibu beach house.
Huh?
It's a Malibu beach
house. Of course. Listen, I get that. I understand that. You're not wrong. But if this is a play to make sure that the culture is what he wants it to be going into 2024, then this is an extension of what he started this offseason, which is being around the guys, which is making sure that he's there to answer questions in the meeting room, which is there to make sure that a lot of the backbiting that's going on right now in that locker room doesn't happen, to make sure that Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and Alan Lazard aren't pointing fingers at Zach Wilson. You have an opportunity to do that. We were talking about it right after the injury happened. This could be a part of enhancing Aaron Rodgers' legacy in terms of what kind of teammate is he going to be, not only to Zach Wilson, but to a team that's going to have to struggle to find an identity because he's now out of the lineup. There's the opportunity for him. And the fact that he's not there, and then he goes on Pat McAfee and he has this to say about guys pointing fingers, again, it feels cheap to me, and it probably rings hollow in that locker room.
So coming up, we are going to dive into that, and there's some drama. There's additional drama, if this wasn't enough. And now the Jets may join another list of NFL teams that we will get to that we have a suggestion for as to what you should do with the rest of the season. We'll get to that coming up. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hey.
It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, SiriusXM 80, ESPN2, ESPNU, ESPN App, all of our great stations all across the country, like 710 in LA, ESPN LA, which I want to ask them and the nation a question right now.
What's up?
We're talking about Aaron Rodgers not being with the Jets. The concept of a Malibu beach house, is that the best real estate you could have? New York City apartment, Palm Beach house, Malibu beach house. I mean, that's pretty hard to beat. Because even CeCe, as he's like breaking this down, he's like, you know, why does he have to be at his Malibu? Well, I actually understand why he has to be at his Malibu beach house. I mean, is that, would people in LA say that there's something better than that? Because that sounds unbelievable.
No, the Malibu beach house is top shelf. Chef's kiss. Like, it's just amazing.
Yeah, it sounds better than like a Hamptons house or a house on Star Island or a place in Aspen. I think there's something about the
all
word Malibu.
That's Palm frequents,
yeah,
by
yeah,
the
you
way.
Go to
yeah,
all those.
Exactly.
We've all been all there.
I ain't never been to Star Island.
Well, I've just driven by.
Well, where do you have your house there?
Oh, I don't have a second home.
Okay. But a friend of hers, a close personal friend right. of hers lets her use
his
it
name is
she wants.
Shaquille O'Neal. Is that who you have? So the other part of this now is that if you think about what's going on, so Rodgers is there, he's going on McAfee, he's rehabbing,
yeah.
and they're bringing in Trevor Siemian to be a practice squad quarterback. Colin Kaepernick writes a note to them, beautifully written, that J. Cole released yesterday that basically suggests, hey, can I be your practice squad quarterback? And I don't think the Jets are interested right now. As all of this is going on, the Jets may join a list of teams that we have a suggestion for, and part of it has to do with what Rich Cimini, ESPN NFL reporter for the Jets, Flight Deck Podcast, available on the ESPN app, had to say about what's currently going on with this team.
The thing is, he's coming off as a Zach apologist, and that doesn't play well in the locker room. The defense, in particular, is not happy. The defense allows only 13 points in the game on Sunday, and they're hearing about the busted coverage on the TD, some third down conversions that got away from them, and this defense knows that if any other player were performing his job the way Wilson is performing his, that player would be benched. Trust me, there's tension in that locker room. On Tuesday morning, an off day for players, I was told that this was a hot topic among players in the locker room. I get the sense from what I've seen on the sideline and from what I'm hearing that this team could be ready to implode.
Okay, so that's Cimini talking about the head coach Robert Saleh being a Zach apologist. If they're going to implode, Smalls, are we going to start talking tank mode with them?
I think we're already there. Have we not arrived at that point? I don't see this getting much better for the New York Jets. I know Aaron Rodgers is trying to simmer things down from afar in Malibu, but I don't even think that those words are going to have any sort of the impact that he's hoping that they will or that the Jets are hoping that they will. If you're seeing players fight on the sidelines like this, I can only imagine, CeCe, what it's like behind the scenes. If you're letting it show like that in public, I can't imagine the frustration and tension that's building behind the scenes. And if the team continues to lose, that's not going to go away. We think about fans like Greeny and their disappointment level and thinking that this was going to be a Super Bowl contender and watching it unfold this way. Imagine being a member of the team. Imagine going into this season thinking, we've got a legitimate chance to win and we can do that because of the guy who's under center. And all of a sudden that's ripped away from you and you're watching things regress to such a severe level in real time. It has to be really hard to deal with.
Oh yeah, it's extremely frustrating. Just think about this. If you're a defensive player, the Patriots offense was able to run the ball 40 times. You know why they could stay with the run game? Because the Jets offense could do nothing. The Jets offense doesn't threaten the Patriots defense. And that's the problem with Zach Wilson as the quarterback. It's not as if the Jets don't have the weapons. They do. But Zach Wilson can't operate the offense and he can't get the ball to those guys so they can do damage. And that's the frustrating part. They have all of the other pieces that you would need in order to compete at a high level. And yet, because your offense doesn't threaten the opposing team's defense, then the opposing team's offense can make life difficult for the New York Jets. So those guys don't get to do what they love, which is tee off and pass rush. They got to play to run. It's going to be a physical game. And those teams that are going up against the Jets defense, they know as long as we play mistake-free football, that we're going to win because their offense can't do anything. Mm-hmm. The Jets offense is absolutely anemic, which is why it doesn't make sense that the head coach and Aaron Rodgers continue to affirm Zach Wilson in the way that they do. I get it. Like, there are no other options on the roster right now that are better, but you also have to feel the other 52 guys in that locker room and be sensitive to what they're going through because they have literally one position that's keeping them from being able to win games, and that's exactly how it was last year.
Okay, yes or no question on this. Does Zach Wilson lead to losing?
Well, even if he doesn't lead to losing, he doesn't help you win.
Okay, so then let's say it's a yes, just for argument's sake. So here's the question that I will then ask back at you. Aren't we kind of saying what we've said about Minnesota, that maybe they should be a sneaky tank? The Titans, now they're never going to do it because their head coach is not made up that way and their organization is not made up that way, but we have argued that they should be a sneaky tank because they don't have the guy at the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, ESPN 1000 in Chicago. The Bears are not a sneaky tank.
No.
We know what they're doing, right? The Rams we have brought up as an idea of a sneaky tank. The Vegas Raiders may end up that way. I don't think they will, but they're in there. Same thing with the Broncos. Why don't we just, as a show, all of us agree that the best case scenario for the Jets is to continue to play Zach Wilson because your best move is the sneaky tank?
You can't do that. You're going to lose the locker room. The head coach is going to lose the locker room. It's going to create it's going to not create, but it's going to worsen the culture in that building. Like, they made a lot of strides this offseason with Aaron Rodgers being in there. You don't want to give all of that goodwill away by continuing to march out Zach Wilson, because those guys know they can't win with Zach. They've got a 3-year sample size, and Zach Wilson hasn't gotten better. And on top of that, you're worried about some of the sports character problems that popped up at last year that prompted the team to wear T-shirts with the backup quarterback on them. So I just think from an organizational standpoint, you have to acknowledge that the guys in the locker room, not named Zach Wilson, have a legitimate beef as to why they're frustrated, and you got to make a move that signals that you hear where they're coming from. Because if you keep marching out Zach Wilson, you're going to have a mutiny on your hands. That can't happen. That's why they brought in Trevor Siemian, somebody they're familiar with. He was there in 2019 in the Adam Gase era of Jets football. And I'm not going to sit here and say Trevor Siemian is a better quarterback than Zach Wilson, but Trevor Siemian is a different name. And so maybe with the change, there could be some hope. But I also think that the Jets should consider a big swing before the trade deadline and bringing in a starting quarterback like Kirk Cousins, or bringing in a high-quality backup like Tyler Huntley or like Cooper Rush, just because it gives you hope and it gives you an opportunity to try to salvage this season while you still have a lot of top-tier talent on controllable rookie contracts.
I think they're too late already. I think they're too late. They're going to get destroyed this week against the Chiefs, right? Are we in agreement on that?
Yes, we are.
So they're already 1-3. Now they have at the Broncos. Let's just pretend that they win that game. That's 2-4. But then they have the Eagles, 2-4. It's too late. It is already too late. You bring Kirk Cousins in there, who I think would obviously make this team better. You're not going to bring him in there on Sunday, and you're already 1-3. It's too late. They're done. Assuming they lose this week, they are done.
Well, you say that. I mean, if they're 2-4 going into their bye week, off of that, they got the Giants, the Chargers, and the Raiders, all winnable games. All losable games, too, but they're all winnable games if you upgrade the quarterback position, especially considering what you got on defense.
And then they've got the Bills, they got the Dolphins twice. I mean, they have, you know, this is a problem. They're done.
I get it. I understand what you're saying, but at least you could build towards something next year. And here's the deal. Aaron Rodgers being under contract in 2024 shouldn't preclude them from going out there and trying to make a move. And I think that's the thing that makes this a little bit dicey for the front office. We don't want to do anything to upset Aaron Rodgers, because we still look at this guy as a quarterback that could help us compete at a championship level. All I'm simply saying is this dude would be going into his age 41 season coming off of an Achilles injury. He can be a part of your quarterback room, but he can't be the sole answer when it comes to competent quarterback play within your organization for the foreseeable future. They got to consider getting somebody else in there. If they don't decide to make a move by the trade deadline, and they decide to go through with the tank, then they are going to be a prime candidate to draft one of these quarterbacks coming out of college this year. There's no way the Jets can look at 2024 and say, we're going to run it back with Aaron Rodgers and really nobody else in that quarterback room that we look at as a guy that can help us win.
I'm kind of wondering who the adult in the room is. Like, who is the person that's going to step up and galvanize this team? Because it's not going to be Zach Wilson. Rich Simini is saying that they're looking at the head coach as a Zach Wilson apologist. I know it's a lot of young players on this team, but somebody's got to step up and be the leader or the pervasive voice in that room. Because outside of Zach Wilson, there's a lot of talent on this team. I guess I didn't realize how fragile of a situation it would be if you removed Aaron Rodgers from the equation.
It's the Jets. Of course it's fragile. What do you know?
But somebody's got to step up and be that person.
Here's the thing. You got the guy. It's Aaron Rodgers. That's the guy that's got to step up and be the voice. He's not there.
Yeah.
It ain't Rob Saleh. What kind of credibility does Rob Saleh have in the NFL? You know, not as a head coach. Mm-hmm. As a defensive coordinator, okay, cool. But not as a head coach. Joe Douglas? No. He's the general manager. That's not his role anyway. Zach Wilson? No. I mean, you got a lot of young, talented players. But, I mean, how many rah-rah speeches can Quentin Williams or C.J. Mosley or Garrett Wilson give? Like, those guys understand, we ain't got a quarterback. What the hell is our path to victory? We literally have to pitch a shutout to give us a chance, and even then, we might not win.
What's amazing with all of this is that if we've played the sound, and you can go back and listen on the ESPN app later to our podcast, he has Packers envy. Aaron Rodgers has Packers envy right now. He unsolicitedly, if that's a word, brings up the Packers all the time now. Now, all of a sudden, after all these years, now he loves the Packers. Not when he played there, now. All right, coming up, has Colorado become the most polarizing team in all of sports? We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I'm not doing it. Don't look at me.
Why not? Come on.
Don't look at me.
Come on.
Don't, no.
Don't shut it down just because it sounds crazy on the podcast. Don't do that.
Yeah.
If you want to know what we're talking about, go to the ESPN app. You can listen to our podcast because yesterday, Pat Costello, one of the producers of this show, who Smalls just met for
what did Mefres? I
just reference. There you go. Get it out.
He's trying to, he's got the M because he wants to say money moves. Yeah, that's what he wants to do.
It's in you.
He wants to do it.
Let it fly.
No,
it's good.
No, I'm good.
It's better for the show. Pat, audience love it.
Pat, who's all pumped up, Philly fan, as Smalls mentioned, because the Phillies clinch their division or playoff spot, yesterday. Obviously, the Braves are going to win that thing. and yeah, Pat let us know that when we have our show back, and you guys hopefully are listening to this later in the day, and not live, let's say, for those listening on the podcast right now, and we thank you for those listening to us live. Yeah, the music that we hear now, we don't hear later. And the three of us have a habit of singing. We get excited with sport. Like, sports fans love music. Sports fans love food.
Yeah.
Sports fans love to go out and have a drink and have fun with their friends, right?
Yeah.
So we're sports fans. So when we hear fun music, we like singing along. We didn't
Joe Burrow played last night.
That's the best drop of all time.
And there you go. That's me trying to sing to Taylor Swift without the music.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
All right, Pat, give me another one. Go ahead. Just destroy me while we're here. Just give me another one. What other ones?
Do we have another one?
Yeah, we got it. Oh, really?
There's nothing that's going to top that one, though.
The Joe Burrow one?
That is creme de la creme, man. That's top shelf right there.
Zach Wilson, he stinks. People don't like him.
It sounds like I'm in
so
a temple.
Ridiculous.
Like an Hebrew
it's
song.
So ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
Smalls is dying.
It's
over
so
there.
Bad. Look, it's good, Smalls. It's so bad. It's so bad.
I'm crying.
Oh my gosh.
It is so bad.
It's
Evan.
It's your fault. Here, I'm going to blame Smalls. I'm deflecting blame on this. Smalls came up with a creative idea yesterday. Hey, let's take the biggest story over the weekend in sports and pop culture, which was Taylor Swift at the Chiefs game. She's like, okay, let's come up with a bit where we're tying it all together. Awesome. Great. We did it. The problem was I leaned too far into the bit. I sang every song and every topic in the song, and Pat, who's just a hater, takes all the music out and has me isolated with a horrible voice.
Well, I think the suits won't allow Pat to put the music on the podcast, so that's a them issue, and that's why you sound actually like you're crazy doing a radio show.
Now, moving on.
Exactly.
I mean, Brandon Staley's the problem, it's him.
second biggest story in the weekend.
I think other than that one, the best part about it is you can't tell based on your singing what song
I
it
know.
Is.
That's the worst part or the best part, however you want to look at it. All right, Deion Sanders has been the hottest topic across college football so far this season. And Deion has had some amazing references. He talks about, ranking his kids, which he says
love
he does.
That.
right? Most people are like, oh, you can't ask me. I have a daughter and a son. You can't ask me which one I like better. The end's like, all right, here's the weekly power rankings brought to you by Progressive.
Yeah.
And it's Shador actually dropped to 2 because he threw a pick this week. Shiloh is 1 because of the fact that he had an interception return for it. Oh, wait a minute. Deion Jr. had good social media this week. Mm-hmm. And that's what he does. It's awesome. Well, yesterday, he spoke to the media, of course, and he talked about what he teaches his team about the doubters out there.
It's about us. Everywhere we go, even in your darn families, you're going to have detractors. You're going to have naysayers. You're going to have doubters, even in your darn family. And you guys all shaking my head, shaking your heads like, yeah, my aunt, she ain't no good. Yeah, I know. Yeah, my sister ain't. Yeah, she's ignorant. You know I'm telling the truth. That's because it's going to be like that. God would always allow somebody to be in your path that have a disdain or dislike for you. It's up to you to keep going. I don't stop. I keep going. I don't have stop in me. Not whatsoever, man.
Okay, before we get to the Colorado part, do you have detractors in your own family?
Oh, no doubt.
Me too.
No doubt.
Me too.
No doubt. There are people in my family that are praying for my downfall as we speak.
Wow.
Like, that's just what it is.
Like, they want you to curse
can't wait for me to fall off.
Why is that? Jealousy?
I don't know. Maybe it's everybody hating the richest man in the room. I don't know where it comes from. But that's how it is. That's where. Listen, that wasn't even humble. That's not even a humble brag, but it's.
No,
I mean,
it's,
I thought that's obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, no, I mean, the rest of your family could
listen,
be
they see my
too.
Contracts come across the ticker. They know what I made in the NFL. Stop yourselves.
I don't know. My family's all love. We're a high tides, raise all boats type of family.
Okay.
If I'm doing good, we're all doing good.
Yeah, I'm with CeCe on this one.
Yeah, right.
Really?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
I have people watching and listening right now that are exactly the same, not because I'm the richest man in the room, but because they don't think I'm nice or this, or I don't call them enough or any. Like, there's something.
Yeah,
100%.
Plus nobody in my family thinks I actually had a real job. Oh, you played football. You showed up on Sunday,
that's easy
ran
to
around
do.
And made
yeah,
a lot of money.
That's not
and now you just talk about sports for a living. I actually have to work for the money that I make. Okay. I mean, that's a real thing. That is a real thing. They don't like the fact that I've done it this way. Just like Coach and a lot of people around the college football world don't like what Deion does.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand what the hate is. Like, to me, it's almost like, okay, so we have all the traditional powers, right? We have Alabama. We have Georgia now. We have what Clemson has been over the last decade plus with Dabo. We have all, you know, USC is big time back with Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley, right? We have all the Texas, Quinn Ewers, Florida State, Jordan Travis. Like, Miami's 4-0. We're sleeping on that. So there's all these traditional powers. And now I look at it as because of this one guy, we've added a power to college football. And I think that's awesome. It's almost like if you think about the NBA, we have the Celtics, we have the Lakers, the Knicks, the Bulls, the historical teams. Well, because of Steph Curry, we have another team now that's in the mix. And like that, we care about it, and it's awesome. That's the way I look at Deion. He has given us an additional thing to care about. And sure, he may do it differently than people are used to, but the way he does it is true to himself. And he, as I'll say it once, I'll say it a million times, if you actually listen to him and you read what he says and you don't have a preconceived notion, he actually sounds more like Belichick and Saban than he does whatever you're thinking he sounds like out there.
Yeah, but it's hard not to have a preconceived notion because he's been in the spotlight for so long. Deion has been one of the best, if not the best, players at his position in NFL history, and he had no qualms about letting people know about that. Then he transitioned into being a part of the media. He's got all the commercials, all of the different endorsements, and then he jumps into college football, and after a 3-year stint at Jackson State, becomes one of the most prominent faces in the landscape of college football. So I think he's a disruptor by nature, and because it's unconventional, because it's not a traditional pathway to get into where he is, he has a lot of detractors. Now, the coach from Oregon, Dan Lanning, is not one of them because even though he had the viral clip of him in his pregame speech, he said afterward, like, I don't understand why people don't love what Deion is doing and try to ignore his impact on college football because it's all of a sudden making college football feel bigger when it comes to sports fans in general. Like, everybody is tuning in to watch Deion's team, whoever they play that given week. And Dan Lanning acknowledged that wasn't something that he was oblivious to. Like, he's riding the wave, too. He's clout chasing off of Deion's name. He recognizes that Deion is good for business. But, again, he's so polarizing because it is non-traditional. It's unconventional. And I think that makes people...
No, it's not. Bothers me. I'm sorry. What you're saying actually bothers me. And I don't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
What's unconventional about it?
What exactly?
We've never seen somebody exude the level of confidence that Deion has shown. And you've never.
Pete Carroll's not confident?
Not to the level of Deion. Pete Carroll don't got commercials with KFC and Almonds and Affleck and all of this stuff. He doesn't have that.
Nick Saban does.
Nick Saban has one commercial.
But Nick Saban was in a movie.
What I'm saying is no coach has the gravitas that Deion Sanders does. Think about it. He's got a Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback. And that's the footnote to Colorado football because of Deion Sanders.
I get it. But what I'm saying is I think that people are just making up what unconventional means because he looks different. And I think that's ridiculous. Unconventional was Brian Kelly. I'm sorry, Chip Kelly at Oregon, playing the way he played stylistically. You know, unconventional is that high school coach who goes for it on fourth down or never punts or kicks onside kicks in Arkansas, Louisiana, wherever it is. That, to me, is unconventional.
Unconventional is having 75 players in the NIL and transfer portal.
That's now conventional, though.
Not 75.
It's going to be.
75. You got 85 scholarship athletes.
I get it.
75 of them in the portal in 1 year.
But my argument is, here's what's happening. We're both actually defending Deion.
Yeah.
We're just defending him differently.
Sure.
My argument is this man is doing things the way that people are going to do things 3, 5, 10 years from now. He's doing it first.
But anytime you do it first, you're going to take all of the slings and arrows, Ev.
I get it.
You know that comes along with it. Now, there's also another layer to this when we start talking about how he's doing it, the confidence, and the perception of who Deion Sanders is, more flash than substance. But the thing that I thought stood out to me in the loss to Oregon was how consistent he was in his messaging to his team. Like, he didn't show any panic. He handled it with class. He handled it with grace. He said, if you're going to get him, you better get him now because we still coming. Losing 42-6 didn't do anything to dim their light. It didn't take away from his confidence moving forward. It didn't take away from the team believing that they have a chance this week against USC, who I think is a better team than Oregon. The consistency that he's shown is not something that we're accustomed to seeing, and I think it throws a lot of people off. The fact that this dude can be that confident that he's going to have a successful program, that he's going to compete for national titles.
People don't like that he's a celebrity. People don't like that he was famous before he got this job.
Yeah.
In their mind, they think he already started on second base or on third base.
That no doubt.
He's getting all of this attention, and he has an advantage in the room because of the celebrity that he commands. And people don't like that. When they should look at him and say, this is somebody who doesn't have to take this job and is fully entrenched. He cares about these kids. He cares about this program. He says and does everything right. He has that charisma, but he's not starting arguments with other coaches. He's not out there talking trash about other programs. He's done everything right, but people don't like him because he's famous.
Well, they don't like him because he's famous. They don't like him because he's also the face of college football. And there are a lot of traditionalists. There are a lot of people that are part of the good old boys club that don't like the fact that it's a black man at a program that had one win last year that is now the biggest draw when it comes to the sport that they've loved and followed for decades on end. That's also a part of the math in this that we don't talk about, we don't discuss, because that's not something that people want to hear, but that's a reality of this situation as well.
All right, let's continue this conversation at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to talk to you guys on Sportsmanlike Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in lines. Is Deion unconventional, or does he make people uncomfortable? I think there's two different things with that. We will get to that coming up. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPN2, ESPNU, ESPN app, SiriusXM 80, and all of our great ESPN stations across the country. So we've been talking about Deion Sanders in Colorado coming off their loss against Oregon, going into their game against USC coming up this weekend. And
there's a big conversation, you know, Deion talking about his haters out there, and a lot of people are hating on him and rooting against him. And you said, CeCe, at one point, well, he's unconventional. And I think that there is a debate and an argument as to, is he unconventional or does he make people feel uncomfortable? Because when I hear the word unconventional, I think of you're doing something different or something that we've never seen before. Yes, you brought up a great argument. Well, he has all these transfers, NIL, endorsement deals. But those are now the rules that teams are supposed to actually follow and adhere to and take advantage of in a positive way. That when I think about unconventional, I would think, oh, he actually never runs the ball. He plays five wide receiver sets at all times. He never punts or doing something from a football perspective that would be unconventional. I look at it and I think it's a different un. I think, and not unsportsmanlike, I think that he I think he makes people feel uncomfortable because they're looking at something they're not used to looking at on the sidelines.
I completely agree. I don't think that we're disagreeing with that part of it. I think he does make a lot of people uncomfortable. And seeing Deion, a black man in an authoritative figure, and being at a program that now has risen to the level of prominence that we've seen with Colorado is uncomfortable. A lot of people don't like it. A lot of people are saying, well, why does he deserve this kind of attention for a team that's currently outside looking in with the top 25? Why are we paying so much attention to Coach Prime? Why was he able to sell $5 million in sunglasses over the last 2 weeks? Why does he have all of these national commercial campaigns? Why does he have a 60-minute special? They're asking all of these questions as to why without acknowledging what he's already done, which is tripling this program's win total from a year ago. Like, think about this, man. Colorado is now a lightning rod when it comes to college football. How many people are rocking Buffs gear that didn't go to the school? Like, everybody wants to be a part of what Deion is putting together, and that speaks to his charisma, that speaks to his profile, and I think that's the thing that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. I mean, Dan Lanning played into it with his pregame speech to his team. Like, they're doing it for clicks, we're doing it for wins, but asserting that this team is all about the image, they're all about creating the buzz, but it's not necessarily about football, when actually, when you sit down and listen to Coach Prime, that's exactly what it's about. It's about trying to be better at football and trying to make sure that he's building a good team, but also building young men.
There's a lot of layers to this, but I think at its surface, people are jealous. They're jealous.
Yes, agreed.
Because Coach Prime comes in, and he's going to already command a certain level of attention because of who he is, and he's beating college football at its own game. He is taking all of the changes within the landscape and all of the new rules, and he's excelling with them. And other fan bases are looking at this person and saying, why is he getting all of this attention? Why is my program not doing this? If let's say you're a fan of Mississippi State and you hate Coach Prime, if he came to your school, you'd love him. Absolutely. You would absolutely love him. It's a very classic you hate us because you ain't us type situation.
No doubt.
And I just think that if you are a sports fan, you should love what Deion Sanders is doing. Sports is about entertainment. He's bringing that. It's about greatness. He has greatness. Half the battle in college football is relevancy. He's made Colorado the most relevant program in college athletics, maybe in all of sports right now. And that is no small feat. And people are jealous that he's been able to do it in such a short amount of time and that he's winning some games in the process.
Todd in South Carolina watching on ESPN2. What's up, Todd?
What's up?
What's up?
I think everybody looking at Deion all wrong. They're jealous because he's doing something that nobody's ever done in college football. He cleaned the roster out. He come from an HBCU school with players. And where I'm from, a lot of people say that HBCU players don't believe they belong in college. So,
well, but this is the thing. I mean, like, he's proven, and thanks to the phone call, that obviously the players he brought with him do belong in Power 5 schools. In addition, this is where, again, the idea that, oh, he's unconventional, he's doing things differently. You know how many coaches take over new programs in basketball and football and wipe out players?
Yeah.
All the time. Mm-hmm. You have said, CeCe, that when you were in college, you fully realized it is year to year.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, this is not something that's new. He just gets more attention for it. I worked as a play-by-play guy, as a bad one, but a play-by-play guy in college basketball for a while, and I saw new players every single year when a new coach would take over. Or the guy who was a big-time player last year ain't doing anything this year because that coach didn't recruit him, doesn't want him on his team, right? Doesn't fit stylistically, personality, whatever it may be. So, again, Deion is not unconventional. He's just making people feel uncomfortable. Do we have another stealing signs issue in sports? All right, here we go again. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.